Hello and welcome to SwissInfo.ch's programme for July the 27th, which will be faster, higher and stronger than usual. I'm Thomas Stevens. Yes, it's a gold-plated Olympic offering this week, which includes Swiss medal, hopes and targets, Switzerland's contribution to catching drug cheats, and why a mobile Swiss radio station is parked by London Bridge. But first, we start with some flag-waving. Literally. Swiss tennis player Stanislas Wawrinka has been chosen to carry the Swiss flag at the opening ceremony on July the 27th. Top-seeded Roger Federer, who struck doubles gold with Wawrinka in Beijing 4 years ago, turned down the chance to carry the flag for the third time in a row, saying someone else should have the honour. Wawrinka will lead out 102 Swiss athletes, 72 men and 30 women. This is up from 83 in Beijing. Jan Gilly, head of the Swiss Olympic squad, is in good spirits.
We're going to London with a great team. We've had fantastic results this summer. Of the 22 events involving Swiss athletes, we have medal chances in 12 or 13. I'd say that's a great position to be in for a small mountain nation like Switzerland.
Gilly says the official Swiss target is to come in the top 25 nations on the medal table, for which he reckons 8 to 10 medals are necessary, although he admits 5 to 7 is more realistic, and still a good result.
We've got world-class athletes in our squad of whom we can be proud. Roger Federer, cyclist Fabian Cancellara, mountain biker Nino Schurter, triathlete Nicolas Spierig, marathon runner Viktor Rötlin. There's a lot of quality in a wide range of disciplines.
Jan Gilly, head of the Swiss Olympic squad. 7 medals would equal the haul from Beijing, where gold medals went to Federer and Wawrinka and cyclist Fabian Cancellara, who also picked up a bronze. The remaining medals, all bronze, were in cycling, judo and equestrian team jumping. In a minute, we'll head to Lausanne and the Swiss laboratory for doping analyses. But first, a useless fact that might one day be useful in a pub quiz. Switzerland is one of only 2 countries, the other being Britain, to have competed in all 47 modern Olympics. The use of illegal drugs remains one of the main blots on the Olympic image. As the starter's gun is loaded, Marshall Sorgi, head of the Swiss Laboratory for Doping Analyses, is on his marks and ready to help analyse up to 400 athlete samples a day, an Olympic record. I asked him who is winning the doping race, scientists or athletes?
You never win, but we are not losing. It means that it is a constant race, non-finishing, so there is no finish line for this time. Yeah, so, and really, what we can say is that, of course, we are always fighting at a higher level, I would say. Everything, when the analytical procedures are more and more sophisticated in order to catch the cheaters, of course, they will adapt very rapidly in order to be even more sophisticated. You know, when we think to the past, and you have to learn from the past a little bit, in the 80s, they were taking tremendous doses of steroids, and it took, I would say, 10 years for the laboratories to adapt and to have enough sensitivity in the labs to catch all the cheaters. And not the last one, but one of the last famous one was Ben Johnson, of course. At that time, really, we had the good sensitivity to understand what happened and to say, okay, all this, we will catch everybody. And then they adapt, of course. And was coming the EPO. And the EPO, clearly, they were going down in 2000 when the French laboratory invented the detection of EPO in urine. And at that time, they had really to adapt and to decrease the dosage. And it's always like that. It means you come with a new method of detection. And of course, they understand they will be all caught if they don't adapt. And I think they are helped by pharmacologists saying, okay, then you have to take microdosage, and you can take this other one because this one, other one is not so easy to detect, and you can just regulate your production of endogenous, you know, red blood cells, for example. So it's a non-ending fight, but my feeling is with the application of a biological passport, with its deterrent effect, that we are closer than 10 years ago. I cannot say we are closer than in Beijing. Again, I think, yeah, the only change really is the prevention action of the biological passport. Regarding the technologies, we are almost at the same range.
A biological passport is an individual electronic record in which profiles of biological markers of doping, for example testosterone levels, and results of doping tests are collected over a period of time. Doping violations can then be detected by spotting unusual levels rather than testing for illegal substances. At present, athletes are not required to carry a biological passport. I wondered whether Sorgi had become rather cynical, raising an eyebrow whenever another record is shattered.
I love sport. I try not to become too cynical. I can give you my feeling regarding the 100 meters. For me, in the last records beaten in the 100 meters, some of them have been beaten by cheaters and some of them not. To speak about the Jamaican now, who is with 9:58, I saw it, in fact. That was, to my point of view, in that case, it was almost normal evolution for an athlete who was very strong from the start, and his evolution in beating personal records was normal, and you can compare it to other people who obviously were taking drugs, and it's in general you have a break in the curve. It's different. So now I'm not always saying, oh no, this is impossible. In some case, of course, I will have this reaction, or it's unbelievable, this guy, we didn't know him 1 year ago and he appeared like that, and this is an abnormal evolution of the performance. In other cases, I would say I try to think that it is not a dope performance in that case, and this is not so surprising.
Marshall Sorgi, head of the Swiss Laboratory for Doping Analyses. Never once to miss a chance for a bit of national marketing, the Swiss have spent 4.5 million francs on the House of Switzerland, a cultural centre set up next to London Bridge, hoping to attract 250,000 visitors during the Games. In addition to being a hub for Swiss athletes to chill out and mingle with fans, there will also be concerts, presentations, giant screens to watch the action, loads of fondue and chocolate, and an old Swiss postal bus which has been converted into a radio studio and which will be broadcasting 24 hours a day. This is International Radio Festival Zurich. I asked its co-founder, Miguel Alvarez, what he was doing in London and whether the trip from Zurich had gone smoothly or whether he'd got caught up in the London traffic.
No, we hadn't any Olympic problems. I mean, we arrived 10 days before the Olympics, but it took us 3 days because we were driving 50 miles an hour. So, it's an old bus, but we arrived safe and we're happy to be here.
Fantastic. Now, what is the International Radio Festival?
The International Radio Festival is worldwide the first festival to celebrate music radio. So that means that we invite the best music radios from all over the world. We fly them over to Switzerland, and then they get a two-hour slot to present their best music show. And at the same time, they broadcasting back home from Switzerland. So that means that we have in 4 days, we have about 30 international music channels from all over the world and about 20 radio stations from Switzerland getting together, networking, broadcasting live from Zurich.
So what are you doing in London at the Olympic Games?
We were invited from President Schwarz last year to present Switzerland acoustically through its music. So what we do here is we play just Swiss music. We present Swiss artists. We also a lifestyle radio. We talk about culture, Swiss culture. We do all the interviews with the athletes here in the House of Switzerland. We host the stage, the public viewing stage, where all these nice contests are going on. And we also feature the best in UK radio.
So you're building a cultural bridge between Switzerland and Britain.
Exactly.
Is Swiss music popular in Britain? I know that quite a lot of Swiss artists, they sing in English.
We think about 60% of our Swiss music is in English. But we also want to show the Brits a little bit how Swiss German sounds, or let's say Italian hip-hop sounds. And the feedback we get so far is really cool. I mean, they are really surprised how big our music scene is and how good the quality is.
And where is the bus parked at the moment?
The bus is parked here right next to the London Bridge, in the middle, in the heart of the House of Switzerland.
And what's the atmosphere like in London and in the House of Switzerland at the moment?
The atmosphere is quite relaxed. It starts to get a little bit busy now as the Olympics come closer and closer. And it's really, I mean, the whole city, London, is really packed, very crowded. And everybody, I mean, you see everybody's a little excited at the Olympics. And here at the House of Switzerland, they are still building a few things up, but other than that, we are ready to start the Olympic Games.
And you said a few athletes, Swiss athletes, will be popping into your studio. Have you seen, has anyone been in yet, or any other celebrities?
So far, the Swiss athletes are coming right now, arriving to the Olympic Village. From tomorrow on, we have a packed program. They're going to come, everybody's going to come, all the authorities, the Swiss government is coming, and some celebrities as well.
Miguel Alvarez, co-founder of the International Radio Festival Zurich, speaking on July the 25th. If you want to listen to the London Olympics pop-up edition, go to internationalradiofestival.com. That's it for this week. The music in this show was Goldfinger, composed by John Barry and sung by Shirley Bassey, Heart of Gold by Neil Young, Golden Brown by The Stranglers, and Fool's Gold by The Stone Roses. Thanks for listening. Read more about these stories and other Swiss news and views at swissinfo.ch. I'm Thomas Stevens.